Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and Hotep. Welcome to the Pier de Reed Room. Thank you for joining us. I am your host for the evening. I am Omiinka 7 Zanu, Priestess Omiinka 7 Zanu. Welcome to the Pier de Reed Room. This is a special Friday for us. You know it's our Kick It Up Day. We're delighted to have you with us this evening. As you know, our topic for this month in broadcasting has been something rather delicious and yummy. The raw truth about dark chocolate, the raw truth about chocolate. Is it good for you? And do we use it for medicinal purposes? How have you been controlling your cravings these days? Are you keeping it under control? Are you managing it? Because we have to understand that if you're using milk chocolate, it might have caffeine in it, and it might be causing you to crave more chocolate. But today we're going to be deviating just a little bit from our topic. We've got some special things to talk about concerning chocolate and sustainability, working for ourselves, and women in particular, working for themselves in the area of working with, developing their own household name of incorporating themselves and working in the line of business of sustainability and green products. Now, we're also going to be talking about women issues in the workforce and what is happening to us as women and why can't we seem to get along in the workforce, black and white, Jews and Gentiles, and even people from the same ministry are having a difficult time getting along. We've got a couple of graduates here in our session who are considered as master teachers who I've been working with over the past month. In a graduate program, we are scholars, so it is only evidence. It will prove itself. It will bear me out on this, people, when you get scholarly people together, scholarly intellects. We could be ghetto intellects, but we have to have a scholarly perception of our pedagogical philosophy. And we're going to be philosophizing today, so therefore we're going to deviate just a little bit from the topic. We're going to be eating our dark chocolate. I'll be serving some so you can smell it. You won't be able to taste it, just smell it. And we're going to be discussing women issues and educational issues in our African-American communities. We're going to be doing all that today. So why don't you grab hold to your seats and lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. Once again, lock it in, little G, at 646-478-0270. I'm going to say hello to our guests, and then we're going to do a little house cleaning, so bear with me as I say hello to our guests. So how's everyone doing today, and how are the children? Hello, caller number 773. Who am I speaking with?
Markeisha Cromley.
Mrs. Keisha Comley, how are you, Keisha Comley?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine, and thank you so much for joining us in the Care to Read Room. Normally we do literacy, we talk about authors and their books, and we talk about marriage, family. We talk about relationships. We are a holistic group. So thank you for joining us, and we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. So hold tight. We're going to do a little house cleaning. We'll be right back. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like for you to buckle up your seatbelts and hold tight, because you know it is the power of faith that keeps us going, and it will be the power of faith to get us to the next level. So hold tight. But we want to talk about you, Gemma. What's going on with you, Gemma? Collective work and responsibility. Are we bringing it together, and are we working together, and are we creating the opportunity like we should? Now, one of the things I want you to know, your Gemma's going to help you get it together. So get it together, people. Stay tuned. I'll be right back here to In the Atmosphere. Ladies and gentlemen, our topic this evening is the raw truth about chocolate. But being a special Friday, we're going to focus in on Mother's Day, and we're going to focus in on those issues that pertain to women. And here to join us as an expert is Ms. Keisha Chumley, and she is a grad student at National Lewis University, ladies and gentlemen. Her undergraduate degree she received in business administration with a minor in accounting. She's an expert in her very own way and a business owner. She owns her own tutoring service, and she's been putting her pedagogical philosophy out there for those teachers to see what she's capable of doing and for those parents to see her gifts and talents. I've been knowing Mrs. Keisha for a short time. I was rather impressed with her gifts and the things that she had to contribute to the field of education. I invited her here specifically for her spoken word and her intellect. We will be talking about why women can't get along in the workforce and what's going on with African-American women not being able to get along. In between that, we're going to speak a little bit about the tidbits about chocolate. You do like to have breaks, don't you? And you do like to indulge. So I'm going to indulge your taste buds today in a little chocolate. But before that, I'd like to do a standing ovation for all the teachers out there and the mothers out there This song is dedicated to Mrs. Keisha Crumley. Mrs. Keisha Crumley, keep on pushing on and bringing us higher education, because it's definitely needed.
Past, present, and future. Tell the story, let it echo far, wide, make them hear, how justice was our battle, and how justice was enough, make them hear, and say to those who blame us for the way we chose to fight, that sometimes there are battles that are more than black or white. And I have not put down my sword, was my right, make them hear you. Go out and tell the story to your daughters and your sons. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. And tell the men the trouble we were not the only ones. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. Your sword can be a servant. Of the pen, teach every child to raise his voice, and then my brother, and when you stand in the fire and tell your right hand, make them hear you.
Thank you so much as a dedication to our teachers and the work that they do and the grand job that they do in the community. This song has been dedicated to Mrs. Keisha Crumley. Welcome, welcome, Mrs. Keisha Crumley. We are going to be talking about what is going on in the workforce and why are our African-American women not getting along. And the long, long story, or the long held-out story, why African-American and Caucasian women have been fighting in the workforce for the longest, and now it's poured over into our African-American communities. We are mimicking these behaviors, and we've got to stop it. And here to talk to us about those issues and how we can stop it on this Friday is Mrs. Keisha Crumley. And without any further ado, I'd like to bring her on. She's a business owner. Owner of her own tutoring service. She is a graduate student, a master teacher who works towards changing curriculums and creating the best practices for African-American children. Why don't you welcome her, ladies and gentlemen? We're going to bring her in the atmosphere. Mrs. Keisha Crumley, you have the floor. And the question I pose to you, how can we change things in the arena of the workforce with African-American women, and why are they not getting along?
Wow, thank you so much. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. You're in the atmosphere.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that honor, the song and everything, and all the teachers across Chicago and the Midwest and also in the world appreciate that, because it's well needed. It's very difficult being in this field and working with the youth of today based on different issues that the children are facing, you know, in the community and at home, and also some of the different issues that some of the women are facing in the work environment. I think that due to a lack of faith is one of the main issues that is one of the many issues, the main issue that's facing women as a whole is faith, and I'll probably will name maybe three different issues, but faith, a lack of faith, a lack of love for each other, like love for your neighbor. There's no love, there's no faith, and then a lack of respect for one another. And if we're missing those three key components, it's very difficult to have a society that will function in the way that it should function and where everyone can get along with each other, because no one likes each other. No one really loves each other. We say we love each other, but the attributes that we display is not the attributes of love. So if you say you love someone, then you'll show action. And love is an action. You'll tell someone thank you if they do something as a nice gesture for you, or you would display the attributes of love. You would display the attributes of faith. You would, and I think that's what's the underlying tear that's tearing not only in the work environment with among women, but also among African-American women too as well. If you live in a society where you see on the media, we've just lost another 10,000 jobs, and you get a call for a job, and you look at your coworker not as in a team atmosphere. You don't look at them as a team player. You look at them as, okay, this is a competition. So then that's where you have so much heated, it can fuel negative, you know, tension in the work environment, because they feel, okay, if I lose this job, then I probably won't get another one until maybe a couple of years from now. But if you walk by faith, you would know that the door that God opened up for you, it wouldn't matter.
Amen.
Let the church say amen. If God opened up a door for you, then no man will be able to close it. And if that door
closes, I want to zone into what you're saying, that truly what has been set aside for you and for your purpose, he's going to fulfill everything you need. If he's called you in that area, he is careful to provide everything you need. And just what you're talking about, lack, God does not create lack. There is no lack in abundance. So when you're not in Christ and you're not in faith, you experience lack. And here's my case in point. Wherever you are, God is. And if God got you in that situation, it is up to him to watch over his word to perfect it. And he said you could command him. And we are not commanding God these days. We're not getting up in God's face and say, God, I command you, because the world said to command you me, to remind you of your promises to me, that I'm the head and not the tail, and that you would, that I would have good success. When we get up in God's face and say this, God said, yes, I got to watch over my word, because I did promise these gifts. And there are many promises that women don't realize. We're riding on abundance here, not to talk about I'm rich and name it, claim it, but when it's time for us to have something and we're stuck and we're thinking, oh, well, if there's not enough, there's always enough, because God creates abundance. That's what I want to talk about on that note. And I want you to go on into depth about what do you think it is. Now, I know a lack of employment tends to make people hide things, and we cover things and we protect things. Now, here's what I want to ask you, Keisha. Do you foresee African-American women coming together, creating our own league of teachers where we start contracting ourselves out? We make ourselves, first of all, indispensable, make us a master teacher, so desirable that everyone wants us in the substitute class. Everyone wants us in the boardroom. We have to start by creating collective groups and talking about the best practices, the best pedagogical philosophies, and become intellects, if you will, and make those boardroom people think, just who are those African-American women calling themselves elite? They will want to be in our company, and they will want to know what we're doing when we start putting out other master teachers. And as a curriculum specialist, that's what I do. That's my specialty, to make teachers into master teachers. So how can we put something out there in the atmosphere where we start helping each other to become the best teachers that we can, so when we put those teachers out there, they exemplify polished skills? Talk on it, please, Keisha.
I would say it's going to take the move of God. That's the first thing. And then that's from a spiritual perspective. Deliverance has to take place so that God can prepare you to receive the blessings that he has for you. So in order for you to become a master teacher, you have to be set free from any kind of negative thought processes or things that happened to you in your childhood. Those things have to take place so that can make you a well-polished woman, so you can be a well-put-together woman. God has to create that within inside of you so that when it comes to another woman of color or another woman that wants to open up the door for you to give you an opportunity that you can join forces with that woman, you'll be delivered and set free from a lot of different things. See, we can't grow as a people because we're stuck in our past.
You hit it right on the point. If I am flawed and have inadequacies and I have deficits that I can't get over, I can't very well stand before you and facilitate something that I'm not proficient in myself. And that comes along with the program that we clean house and do our housekeeping at home. So when we go out in the public, yes, we're going to have inadequacies, and we're never going to be 100%. That's why God makes up that 30% that we're not able to make up. That's why we're not doing things in our own strength, because we're not capable. We're flesh and blood. We err. But in God, he's immortal. There is no error in him. So we ask him to make us proficient through his strength. Now, here's where teachers have got to gain confidence. And in these classrooms, we are in the belly of the whale, and I want you to know it, because we've gone through these institutions, and institutions have philosophies that there's going to be 99% of the classroom that may pass and that 1% that won't pass. Guess what? If you're the minority, they're looking at you as that 1% who won't make it. And they're gaining on you because they know you come from the inner city and you don't have the necessary skills or you don't have the necessary exposure. So you're that 1% that won't make it. So guess what? They put their foot on your neck so you won't make it, because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that if you believe you walk in that 1%, then you will act out that part. But if you believe that you can't sub anything and that you're on top and that you are part of the cornerstone, the one that was rejected, and you are part of that cornerstone that formed the rock that Peter built the church on, then you will rise above all of those set of circumstances, and you will do it elegantly. Now, here's my case in point. In these classrooms, sometimes we're asked to work in groups, and nobody wants the black girl. Nobody wants the black male, because they figure they're going to pull them down. They're going to lower their score, so they're last to get picked up. And guess what the professor does? The professor lets everyone pick their group they want to be in. And because you don't know that group of white women and men, you don't know who to ask to be a part of. So you're the last one to get picked up. So what does the professor do? Can you take so-and-so? They feel like they're being burdened upon, and they rejectedly take you, and then they mistreat you when you get in the group. They alienate you, and then they go to the professor and say, see, I told you she wasn't adequate, and we don't want her, and we're not going to allow her to do this, and this is all that you should allow her to do. This is how we want you to grade her. They are manipulating the professor. Stop it. And if you're professional, go to the professor and say, look, I paid my money to be a part of this class, not to be alienated. It is up to you to make sure that I'm protected as a special class minority in this group. But you are not to accentuate on their poor behavior and on their undermining skits. You are not to reinforce it. So here's where we break free. We stand up like a professional and go to that professor and say, look, I'm going to carry my weight in this group, but you are going to have them take their foot off my neck so I can breathe. And you're going to loosen the harness, and they're going to know that I'm counted in this group and perceived as being a valuable asset to the group. And when you get up in front of them, you speak so elegantly, and you carry yourself like a facilitator, do you know they hate you even more? Who is she to carry on like a professor? Who is she to flaunt herself around the classroom? Now, here's what we got to do. We got to keep on flaunting ourselves till the professor becomes convinced that we're professorette material. And then when we tell them we've hosted before and we've been an adjunct faculty, they said, I must have known it. By the way you conduct yourself, you're like one of us. You get her to love you. Damn away with what they think. She's the one that says the last say-so. Now, are we talking about professionals, professorettes, or what are we talking about? How do you make professorettes in the classroom? Let's talk on it. Come on, Keisha, give me some input.
Well, first of all, when you're in the situation like that and you're fighting up against, because it's not necessarily those women, and if you look at it from a spiritual, this is a Christian radio station, correct? This is Christian talk, right? Okay. This is
non-denomination. We accept all faith. We believe in all prophets here.
Right, because I believe that, you know, I believe that anything that's not good, that is not of God. So if you have someone that's doing that to you in the classroom, as a Christian, what I believe is that you should pray for them, and you should try to communicate effectively with them and then try to have a meeting and say, you know, we're all in this classroom, we're all under the same common, we all have the same common goal. And then some people, you just have to accept that they're not going to treat you the way you want to be treated.
Now, wait a minute. Now, Keisha, you said something. Now, everybody does not perceive that they're getting to the same heaven, or you're going to the same heaven that they're going to, and everybody doesn't perceive themselves as a Christian. Now, it's good that we carry ourselves as a Christian. However, at the same time, you can't display state politics with Christianity in the classroom, so you can't come across as being, very careful, because professors will say, oh, you can't mix that in here.
I'm not saying display that. I'm saying you go in your secret closet, because God
gives them to get them
off, because the power of prayer is something that's very powerful.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you.
And curse them out. So you can't do
that.
Right. So you have
same behavior they're doing. You cannot get up and insult them, because, see, they'll go to dean and make it look like you're the bad guy. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You have to rise above a negative situation, and you pray for them in secret. And you pray that God will touch their heart. And guess what? Even if it doesn't happen, if their heart never gets touched, guess what? Just pray that you can get out the classroom.
And even praying without ceasing, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And see, you pray in the spirit, and you pray in the spirit for things you don't know what to pray for. He'll give you utterance. During your moans and groans, you will pray for what it is those people are lacking. And here's my case in point. Sometimes you can bring a person to repentance right then and there by the words you say, because the Bible say, you know, you don't have to worry about changing people. It's the way you reverence yourself around them that will cause them to change.
I was getting ready to say, a lot of times if they just see that you're not going to you're not going to go to their level, which they know if they're insulting you, if they're doing like an undertone, they know it's an undertone. You're going to rise above the undertone, and you're going to continue to rise, and you're going to continue to communicate with them on a professional, scholarly level, because that's
absolutely
who you are.
And that's
so
a good point. You do not fall to their level, and you tell them we're going to communicate on higher basis and stay at that higher level. So you will always be seen as a professorette or adjunct, and they will have to rise to your level.
And now we're gonna
move on a little bit to a little bit different topic, because we're trying to cover something else in here. Now, Keisha, for the benefit of the audience, Keisha is a business owner. She owns a tutoring service, and we'd like to spotlight that a little bit about what does it mean to have ownership. We've also been talking about sustainability, owning your own gardens, owning your own farms, producing your own products. And as you know in here, I've been talking about producing my own raw chocolate, and I've been researching the different types of chocolate, where do you get the chocolate beans, and where can you ascertain the raw materials. Now, we have a guest in our room who owns her own educational system, and we're going to ask her, where does she get the desire to set up her own tutoring service, and what were some of the things facing her, the most difficult obstacles that she had to go through in order to get her business set up. But before that, we're going to stop for the power of prayer, because in this room, you know, we acknowledge our ancestors, we acknowledge the spirit, we hold God up high esteem here. So we're going to stop and do a small meditation of prayer and acknowledging God is the director and author and finisher of our faith. As you will just bear with me for one moment, Keisha, I would like to offer a prayer. Father, we just come before you with our heads bowed and our hearts humble. We ask that you would search our hearts. If there be any wicked ways, Father, please cast them aside. As we talk about what ails us in our African-American community, in our school system, in our education system, Father, help us to lift ourselves above those means and help us to carry ourselves in the highest, utmost, and tangible way of having Iwa Pelu, good character and good conduct. And as we talk about how we can best be friends to each other as African-American women, help us to not hold grudges against each other, but help us to lift those grudges in our slow process of growth. Help us to be patient as we grow into grace. And we thank you, Father, acknowledge you, give you all the highest praise, and we say to God be the glory. Now, we're going back to the phone lines. We'd like to let you know that our phone lines are open, and we do have Mrs. Keisha Comley here with us. She's a master teacher and an owner and business owner of her own tutoring service. And we're going to bring her right back in the atmosphere, asking her, what does it take and to build your business? And what were some of the obstacles that beset you in setting up your business, Ms. Keisha Comley? You have the atmosphere.
Thank you so much. I just, you know, for the sake of time, I don't want to go into too much detail, but as I was going in deep prayer and trying to find out, you know, my calling and my purpose in life, because I think that's so important. You have to know what you should be doing in life so that you can get it done. And I would think that, you know, one would, a Christian, a believer, you know, of Jesus Christ, would actually pray and try to ask for some kind of guidance to make that happen, so you can find out, okay, how am I supposed to complete my purpose in life when I'm not inside of God's will? So I think for me, trying to find out what I was supposed to get accomplished in my life, and as I was in prayer, God revealed to me, he said, I want you to do something with the youth of America right now. So I started making my way, and I started at a non-for-profit agency on the west side of Chicago as a substance abuse counselor. I did that for a couple of years, and then I saw inside of my sessions, I did group sessions too. I did life skill training. I did also individual therapy sessions. And within that position, I realized that God had called me to be in the field of psychology and also in education too as well, because they intertwine with each other. And so from that point on, I started to put together BBWTS, which stands for Best of Both Worlds Tutorial Services. And in that company, we would actually utilize education on a four-dimensional level, meaning that we would actually have a career development, an educational piece. We will also have another piece that's going to be added, which will be sports. And then we're going to put a health and wellness piece inside of there. So the children will get like a little safe haven. It will be a beautiful facility that they will be able to come to after school and receive educational services in all areas. We're covering reading, math, science, and history too as well. And then also we're going to cover ACT and SAT preparation, because I believe in higher education. And
now,
so,
Keisha, have you gotten your approval letter for to compete for those students through government agencies that will pay you yet?
No, I haven't. I'm working on the funding part right now. And actually,
okay.
I sent out my proposal, and I would think the most challenging aspect for me would I would have to setting the company up. I could do it in my sleep. You know,
okay.
Setting the company.
Now, we're going to let you sleep on that and dream the results to your best practices for your business. Now, let's go into your personal life in that area that we love so much, where we have that optic of music that no one else can hear. You're a music lover, and you're also
yes.
a person that is a keeper of time, and you also are a poetic speaker. Can you tell us, how did you get into poetry, and what are some of your famous most spoken words that you'd like to do for us on the air impromptu?
You know, it, songs for me and poetry just comes natural. You know, I could, God just gave me that gift and that talent and ability to just be able to, I have written over 50 songs, and I'm just able to, I'm in the kitchen, and just the words would just come to me. It's, I don't have to sit down and force out a song. I'm walking
down
the street.
Can you share one with us this evening for the sake of time, a little short something, something?
Did you want me to sing it or just say it? Or?
Well, you can say it or sing it however you normally do it.
Okay. Let me see. This is one of my songs. It's called Past Situation.
Okay, you can read it if you want, because we have our time is up on us, and then that way we're going to ask you a few more questions.
Okay. You don't know what I have been through because I don't look like my past situation. Sometimes I had to smile to keep from crying. Sometimes I had to laugh to keep. I'm so sorry. Let me rephrase that. You don't know what I've been through because I don't look like my past situation. Sometimes I had to smile to keep from frowning. Sometimes I had to laugh to keep from crying. I'm in the process of walking into my destiny, and I'm thanking the Lord every day he brought me through. You don't know what I've been through because I don't look like my past situation. I don't, for interviews, I talk from my heart. I don't have anything written down.
Well, you know, it's impromptu. It's just fine. It's in order. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you another question. With your music, you do see fitting your music into your business, of course. And one of the other things is your education. Tell us a little bit about the degrees that you're obtaining and the one you're currently working on now.
Okay, well, currently right now I am, I completed my BS degree. That's a Bachelor of Science in Business Management with a concentration in management and accounting. And I received that back in 2002 from National Louis University, Chicago campus. And then currently I had actually went back to school for grad school in early childhood education. So I have a early childhood education certification certificate. So that allows me to go inside the classroom. And then that's when I revealed to me, I want you to kind of switch gears now and work on psychology. So then I started back up. I'm actually going to Capella University for educational psychology. And from there on, once I complete, after next year, I will be starting a PsyD program under clinical psychology. So those are all the,
excellent.
All the degrees.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, this is a scholar, a woman and scholar. I am very proud of you, Keisha. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show. You're very well-rounded, and you are definitely professorette material. And we're collecting these women because we want them to stop fighting amongst themselves. We want to love on each other, and we want to be a part of each other, and not in the negative way. We're talking about in a normal way that we love one another, because the Bible said we will know one another by the way we love one another. And I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, I am more than honored to have Keisha with me here in the audience. And this is our Kick It Up Friday day, so let's get ready.
That's happened, but you only live once. And when you're dead, you're gone. Trash. If you're gonna have a good time, you better go out and be fast. clown. We don't let nobody play at you. We got hearts, so listen to me.
Good times roll in this room, Keisha, because it's Good Time Friday. I hope you enjoyed that song. That's a special of mine, and I thought because of this occasion on Fridays, we kick up our heels. We have our own line dance, but we won't be doing that today for the benefit of time. We're going to tie up our loose ends. We're going to ask Miss Keisha to come back and give us a solution for our children and in the classroom. What can we do to better their education, because they're losing sight of education. They no longer want the education we have to offer. How can we present something brand new? I'm talking about brand new, Keisha, to the children in the classroom.
Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to continue to have ongoing training for our teachers. We have to, I hate to say it, no one should be in the classroom without a degree. So we need to inform
and
make sure that all teachers, even at the TAs, and even if it's going to be a teacher aide, everyone needs to at least have a minimum of an associate's degree. That's the first of all. That's the first thing. And then second
and
of all,
I believe that. Go ahead.
And then the second thing that we need to do, we need to also stress that within side of the school, that the teachers and the administrative people and also the directors and also the principals, everyone needs to be on the same page. No more fighting. Everyone needs to be there for the common goal for the student, too, as well. And then also we need to have a partnership with our parents. It's no more you work for us and, you know, it's your responsibility to teach our children. I think that the parents need to be involved with the children and trying to, you know, determine what's the best method that I can do. Stop Xing the parents out of the school and invite them and let them come inside and let them volunteer.
Absolutely.
Let them go on field trips and let them be a part of the whole educational process and everybody working as a partner, because it takes a village to raise a child. Everyone has to be on the same page.
And, you know, I say it takes a parent to raise a village, because if there's nobody home, who is training the children? I believe that the parent is the first teacher, and the parent might need to come in the classroom and be taught. And if we can do that, we build better parents, we will have better schools. And Keisha, our time is all up. Thank you so much, dear heart, for being a part of our show today. And we're going to have you come back again. And as we have you come back again, I want you to remember that in this show, you're open to say what it is to improve our teachers. And thank you so much. On that note, we're out of here, people. This is our last song for the evening. Good evening.
Okay, thanks for having
me. Oh, wow, to tell the story, let it echo far and wide, make them hear.